You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Babylon 5 ended a great war and united 100 alien races in peace. Danger didn't die. It just went underground with new heroes and new evils to carry the torch.
We need to make sure they all understand we will not be intimidated.
What is wrong with you people?
We have to set him against himself.
It's an entire new season of Babylon 5 with all new episodes.
And so it begins.
There is a hole in your mind.
What do you want?
No one here is exactly what he appears.
Nothing's the same anymore.
Commander Sinclair is being reassigned.
Why don't you eliminate the entire non-home
race? I want a reaching out of the stock.
Who are you?
President Clark has signed a decree today declaring
martial
law.
These orders have forced us to declare independence.
Weapons and
supplies. People get off their encounter-suited butts and do something.
You are the one who watches.
To Zahadu, who will die.
Why are you here? Do you have anything worth living for?
Think of my beautiful city.
Giants in the playground.
Now get the hell out of our galaxy!
We are here to place President Clark under arrest.
Turn around. Very, very slowly.
Hello, Mr. Garibaldi. Good to see you again. I was wondering how you were doing. Have you written, called?
Shut up.
Obviously haven't improved your manners.
Hello, and welcome to the Epsilon 3, a Babylon 5 rewatch podcast. Each week, we review an episode of the 1990s sci-fi TV classic, Babylon 5.
This week, Season 5, Episode 21, Objects at Rest.
I'm Paul.
I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
And we are the Epsilon 3.
And the synopsis. Sheridan and Delenn finally depart Babylon 5 for the IA's new headquarters on Mimbar. And Franklin leaves for his new posting on Earth. Garibaldi settles into his new corporate life. And Lanier makes a terrible choice and must face the consequences. Written by JMS and directed by John Copeland, this episode was released on November the 18th, 1998, and takes place from September the 6th to September the 11th, 2262. And our guest stars are Marshall R. Teague as Talon, Jennifer Balgobin as Dr. Hobbs, Simon Billig as Ranger, Josh Cox as Lieutenant David Corwin, and Marjorie Moynihan as Number One, or Tessa Holloman, Maggie Egan as Jane, the ISN anchor, and Mike Manzoni as Employee. Employee. Of who, it does not say.
Probably that belligerent redhead at the corporate office.
That could be it.
Yeah. Ah, yes, of course. That'll be him. So, guys, what do we think of this? What we're going to call the final episode for now.
Well, it was good to see the ISN reporter back. We really missed her, you know? It's always good to see her. But this was a weird episode because a lot happened, but nothing really happened.
Yeah.
But it was good and emotional and a funny story. I was watching it with Leah, and she has not been following along, but I'm watching it, and it gets really dramatic at one part, and she's like, I'm not familiar with this show. Is it supposed to be emotional? And I'm like, yeah, it is. And then I showed her your message from yesterday where it said, I'm crying like a baby, and I'm like, yeah, see, it's supposed to be emotional. She's like, okay. So I liked it.
Excellent. Dan?
Yeah, it's a bit of a mixed bag for me. Like, there are loads of stuff I really like. There's the bits where Talon is sort of taking on his responsibility, and there's the little video clip where he's watching it, and there's that lovely shot where Jakar's sort of explaining everything, and then we move through everybody's story as everything gets handed over. We get Franklin getting 1 hour before he starts his shift. sitting down to a little dinner with her, and you know what's going to happen there. Zach is sort of taking on the responsibility, so we get the resolves, and it's satisfying in that respect. But this kind of felt like middle of the season. It didn't feel like a finale. I feel like it was missing something. Like, this is the beginning of the end. There are more episodes for us to come back to in our little watch order and everything like that. So we are going to go through the TV movies and then come back to several episodes. So it's not the last ever Babylon 5, but for all intents and purposes, it is the last Babylon 5 episode, really, as we've seen for the last, you know, a few years. So it's a weird finale. It just doesn't land for me completely. So we'll discuss it probably at the very end as well. But yeah, it's odd.
It's weird.
I really don't know how to rate this one. It's a real struggle.
I've been thinking about that quite a bit too. It's almost like it's a backdoor pilot for the sequel series.
Yeah, because I would gladly watch the crew that they're handing over to in a whole new venture for another 4 years. Because it's kind of a good setup, because now we know them. We're invested in them. But it's not. It's just... Yeah, here's a new crew. They're going to say goodbye to you and let's go.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It is very strange, isn't it? Because it the last two, even three episodes have all built up people leaving one by one, or building up to the leaving, the departure scenes, the saying the farewells and etc. And then it comes to the last scene and just goes, sort of, huh. It's not a big dramatic ending. It's not an emotional ending, although the speech at the end is. But right, even the last scene is just sort of, well, tomorrow I'll get up early.
Are you talking about the speech where John records a message to his unborn child?
Yes.
Okay. Leah was listening to that too, and she's like, the kid's already deleted it and turned it off because it's just going on and on and on. He doesn't care. I'm like, hey, no. I couldn't stop laughing.
So, yeah, I mean, you're probably right, because it was getting... I mean, but it was good the way that it was sort of... Although he was talking about it, you could see he was pulling from his memories of the people he's just been working with for the last 5 years or 4 years. And... You get that montage that is, you know, we can't exactly show on the podcast, but there's a montage of Jacquard, of Garibaldi, of all these people he's been working with, and the way the speech flows, it makes it better for having that montage of it. It's just been, like you say, 19 years time. This lad's 21 years time. This lad's listening to this thing and go, what the hell is the old man on about?
Yeah. If he didn't die 3 years ago, I would have killed him myself.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, he's got a podcaster for a dad and not a YouTuber. That's all he wants.
Yeah, that's it. And the annoying thing is the recording device is now antiquated. It's not
it doesn't pick up.
It's not a cassette anymore. Come on, granddad, grow up. What's this cassette? I haven't got a cassette to play. Whatever the equivalent is in 2262.
You're still using crystals to record? Oh, it's so old school.
Yeah. And what? You've printed out a copy on paper? That was out of date in your day, old man. You chopped down trees in order to print on them and... Oh. Why didn't you just get a big...
You know what I said about don't start a fight, always finish it? Well, I'm going to change my mind.
At least I got to hear my favorite quote from the series. Yeah. So,
yeah,
very true.
True. Okay, so let's get into this review. Sheridan and Lockley cannot sleep.
So, you couldn't sleep either?
Not really. I hear Delenn came back from Imbar last night.
Yes. The new headquarters for the Alliance are just about finished. We can go anytime. Hard to believe it's been almost a year since you got here.
Where does the time go?
That way.
And what's out there?
The Rim.
And beyond that?
The truth. When we leave from Imbar, I don't want any ceremonies, brass bands, or speeches.
Sheridan just wants to leave quietly.
I understand. Before that, I wanted to thank you for bringing me in here. The first few days, I wasn't sure I really wanted the job, but this place kind of grows on you.
He says that knowing that leaving the place in good hands makes the leaving easier.
Mr. President.
Captain. You're welcome. And in case I don't get to say this later, it's been good having you here. Knowing that this place is in good hands makes the leaving easier.
In the meantime, Talon is looking for Shakaar, and Veer finds him knocking at Shakaar's door. Talon says that Shakaar asked him to come immediately, but Veer cannot help him. So Talon breaks into Shakaar's quarters and finds the message that Shakaar recorded in the last episode waiting for him.
Greetings, Talon. I am leaving this message for you because it appears I must leave Babylon 5 sooner than I had intended. I would have preferred to say this in person, but since I cannot, let me say it here. Now that I am gone, someone else must speak for our people. I would like for that person to be you.
The message continues.
Knowing you as I do, Talon, I'm sure you're wondering why you.
To say the least.
Why should you be asked to take on the responsibility of speaking for our people? Why you might accept it is for you to decide. I can only tell you why I've offered it.
He has become a distraction for his people.
I believe there is a time for enlightenment and a time for things to get done. I have become a distraction for our people. They require patience, direction, determination, and strength. I have provided a little of the first two. Now you must provide the rest. You have always been sensible and level-headed. A rock that will never shift or break beneath the demands of our people.
But more importantly, he's been his friend.
And you have been my friend. In my absence, we will need someone to focus on helping our world rebuild and strengthening ties with the Alliance. In order to serve our people, here and at home, one must be both priest and warrior in equal measure. In recent months, I have become more priest than warrior. Perhaps now it is time for someone who is more warrior than priest.
Talon will be as ready as Shakaar was then.
You may believe you are not ready. But you are as ready as I was when I first came to Babylon 5. Check the records. I think you'll be amused. When this message has finished, a copy will automatically be sent to Sheridan and the others. They will receive you as they would receive me. Good luck, Talon.
Dr. Hobbs finally gets the promotion she deserves. Dr. Franklin tells her that the other doctors are specialists, where she is a generalist, which you need to be to run the Babylon 5 med labs. She accepts the position and asks if he has said goodbye to Sheridan. Just then, Sheridan walks past the bar, so Franklin leaves Dr. Hobbs and says goodbye to Sheridan.
And then Dr. Hobbs follows him like a creeper.
Yes, to make sure that he is going. She looks down. Yes, the talking. Yes. Oh, the hugging. Right. He's definitely going then.
I was running this department myself 2 years ago when you buggered off for your whatever it was.
Walkabout.
Or whatever. There we go. Yeah, of course I bloody deserve the job. Get out.
Lanier pays a surprise visit to Delenn during a break for personal time in his Anlon shock training. Lanier picks up a photograph of Sheridan and Delenn and looks at it.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yes. Oh, I'm sure he's just admiring the picture, the quality of the photography.
The frame was fantastic too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Why is that not on Instagram version 2.0? It's crazy. Still on crystals? Ah!
still taking photographs and printing them out. Even now we've got digital frames.
Exactly. What's going on?
Tessa Holleran is updating the president with the latest minor skirmishes among the Bracchieri. Garibaldi is keeping very busy on Mars by chairing a meeting so he can introduce himself to the new board of Edgar's Industries.
Since I'm the new guy on the block, I figured I should introduce myself. The name is Garibaldi. Michael Garibaldi. And at the suggestion of my wife, Lise, I have decided to take over the day-to-day operations of Edgar's Industries.
So why did you want to see us?
Because I asked for a list of company troublemakers. Now, all of you have been stuck in the same mid-level position in the same department because you have an attitude problem. If you don't like something, you complain. You talk back. You think you can do everything better than your bosses.
So we're fired. Is that it?
Actually, more like promoted.
No one objects.
I've decided that all of you are now on the board of directors of Edgar's Industries. Your job is to tell me where we've screwed up so that we can fix it, make it better. The position entitles you to a 100% salary increase effective immediately plus benefits. One part of your job is to tell me if I've screwed up, to stand your ground. Now, if you're right, you get a bonus. If you're wrong, I will eat you for lunch. Does anyone have a problem with that?
And finally, Franklin leaves the station, all by himself, with no one to see him off.
How sad.
Yeah. All those people he's had in that cot, and he couldn't, you know, not one of them turned up.
Yeah, they mostly died, I think. That's the problem.
Sheridan and Delenn are getting ready to leave for the new IS headquarters when Linnea turns up to tell them that the ship is ready. Sheridan thanks Linnea for coming all this way. But once Linnea has seen them safely onto Minbar, he will return back to his training. On the way to the ship, they exit an elevator to a waiting crowd of people. So, just for Sean's benefit, a crowd is like a horde, but they're quieter.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah, I think that's the way it is, because this was a horde of people, but they were quiet and respectful. So I think that's why it's a crowd and not a horde.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. I just made that bit up. Sheridan is asked to give a speech, but passes it over to Delenn.
When I was first assigned to Babylon 5, I had to learn to speak several languages. Drazi, Prakiri, Centauri, and of course English, the human language of commerce. Some words have always come easier to me than the others. One of the most difficult words for me was goodbye. There is no corresponding word for goodbye in Minbari. All our partings contain within them the possibility of meeting again.
Delenn will not say goodbye.
In other places, in other times, in other lives. So you will excuse me if I do not say goodbye. Our souls are a part of this place. Our hopes, the foundation of our future. And we will pass this way again.
They continue to make their way through the crowd, where they are greeted by Zach. Sheridan says it's good to see a familiar face before they leave, and Zach says he wouldn't miss this for anything, and will probably still be here when they turn the lights out. As Sheridan and Delenn's ship leave the station, Linnea informs them that the captain has stayed on Babylon 5, as it would be more appropriate for Sheridan and Delenn to command the ship. Sheridan takes it out of the station and turns the ship around to look straight into the CNC, and for an emotional salute to Lockley and the crew. Now, this is where I said I cried like a baby.
Yes.
Because, and it's a very, very strange thing, because obviously it's Sheridan's leaving and he turns around and he salutes. You've got Lockley, or rather Lockley salutes. So Lockley is, she's only been on for one season. Zach has been in for a lot more seasons, but has been sort of in and out. Via comes and goes. Tessa Holleran is a new person. Talon has been in a couple of episodes. We sort of know him. But we don't really know any of them that well.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they are all stood there in CNC saluting Sheridan, who salutes back. Now, I know everybody else has left already. And it might have worked better, I think, if Sheridan may have gone first and then saluted the whole of the original cast, you know, the full cast.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't sort of work that way. And I thought, ooh, but even so, I'm blubbering away. You know, it is a farewell to Sheridan, and he's saluting not just the people, but the ship as well, the station as well. So, yeah, it was a very, very emotional scene for me.
Yeah, it was definitely a high point for the episode as well. I think it does encapsulate his feelings that he's leaving behind this command that he's had for 3 years. And, you know, it was delivered well in the kind of mirroring as they were looking back on each other. And it was nice. It was good. And like I say, I'm fully invested. If this show had ever gone on for another 4 years with a whole new crew to get to know, to have more adventures with, if the network had picked it up, if season 5 had actually been successful enough, maybe they would have, you know, not spun off, but just carried on the Babylon 5 series. And yeah, they're really good characters to have built on.
I don't know. I haven't been following the series. Wasn't supposed to be emotional here.
You artless bastard.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know whether it would have been a totally different show, even though we've got all the same ingredients. Veer was no Londo.
No,
he's different. So it would be he might have even been just as good, but it would have been different. Zach isn't as good as Garibaldi. He stumbles across things rather than, you know, deducting things. Lockley is good. I think she would have warmed up to the part a bit more, and you know, with a few more episodes, you know, regular episodes, I think she would have settled into that role.
A few more backstories to fill in of the other characters, but yeah.
Tessa might have stopped sounding a little wooden.
Oh my goodness! Right, she sounded like a robot.
Yeah.
Yes, I think the thing is really good, and that's pretty much the way it's been, Commander. And now I'm going to exit off the screen.
And yeah, it was very much like that. Yeah, I mean, she looks like a good enough actress, but it's just a wooden delivery that she seems to have. Talon, I think, is an intriguing character, and there's a lot more to unpack from him, I think. And then Dr. Hobbs is Dr. Hobbs. I mean, she would have been there running the place just as well, better than, or more efficiently, and probably to the book a little bit more than maybe Franklin did. But yeah, it would have been an interesting.
There was a little snigger of a laugh because there were those main. So at the moment, obviously the listeners can't see this, but Paul's got his background of who the people on Babylon 5, and on mine you've got Sheridan, and there's Lanier in the background as well. What you can't see is the cut off of it. You can't see Dr. Hobbs, and in the framing of the shot, she actually does just slightly lean in just to be in the camera. It's like, remember me, I'm the doctor, I'm the replacement doctor. It was very, very much calling back to when we started this podcast of an airplane moment of people just leaning in. And it's just like they were going to sing Kumbaya and everyone was going to lean in and everyone was going to be nodding their heads as they go along. So there was a moment where it just broke the sadness with a little bit of laughter.
Yeah, interesting. I missed that bit. And the only reason I framed it the way it is because it was about the best shot I could get of it. So, yeah. Delenn is going through some paperwork whilst Sheridan is pacing up and down. She tells him to go for a walk, but he doesn't have to go for a walk. To which she says, as you wish. So Sheridan decides to go for a walk. As he is walking through the corridors, there is a coolant leak. Sheridan runs towards the problem and finds a ranger struggling to breathe next to the shaft, which has the leak. Just then, the door seals the compartment, and Lanier appears outside. Sheridan implores him to open the door, but he doesn't. His hand starts towards the door control panel, but stops. Then he turns around and runs away. Sheridan uses one of the ranger's fighting poles to break through the glass door, and he helps the ranger to safety. Lanier has a change of heart and runs back to the compartment, but finds Sheridan and the ranger have already got out and are surrounded by people helping him. Delenn arrives and asks Lanier what happened, but Lanier can't explain and runs away. He takes a ship and makes his escape.
What happened?
We had his quarters searched at the Undershock training facilities in Tuzinor. They found his diary. I knew that he had certain feelings towards me, but I had no idea. His entries make it clear that he considers our union a mistake. But there is no indication that he meant you any harm.
Then what happened?
There are moments when we all become someone else. Something other than what we are.
Perhaps he was having a change of heart.
It takes only a moment, but we spend the rest of our lives looking back at that moment in shame. For one instant, out of a lifetime of service, he became all of his own worst instincts. I can't even imagine what he's feeling right now. He was on his way back when I arrived. Perhaps he was having a change of heart.
And perhaps he wanted to make sure I was dead.
But he still crossed the line.
Will you tell me one thing, John?
Hmm.
If he said he was coming back because he had changed his mind, because he wanted to undo what he had done, would you believe him?
I don't know. I think I would believe him, but I shouldn't, but I think I would. It's like I said, there's no way to know the truth. And even if he changed his mind, he still crossed the line. There has to be a price.
I know.
And that, and this is where we have this sort of moral quandary, don't we? We know that Linnea did have that thought of leave him to die, Delenn's mine. And then he runs off. And then he says, no, I can't do it. Turns around and goes back. So he was on his way back to right the wrong that he had made. And he would have had to explain that later and apologize anyway. But so
does this ruin his character, or does this make it more rich? I can't decide.
Yeah, I think it certainly damaged it in a big way. Because even though he's, you know, forgiven in some ways, and you know things are understood about why he did what he did, it's still troubling that he did it. And with Delenn saying that she didn't know that his feelings were so strong, it just didn't work for me. So I think really overall it's a bad ending for Linnea.
There's a suddenness to it. There wasn't a build up to this. It wasn't something that perhaps Sheridan and Linnea should have just had one scene where Sheridan was like, you know, she's agreed to live with me. She loves me. And he'd just be a little bit more firm with him. And that would have just given me that hint that he would do something like that. Linnea up to this point had been so honourable that I just don't believe that sudden change that he would have been capable to have let Sheridan die in that and even run away. It just needed one more scene where Sheridan had been firm with him and reasonable, but in Lanier's head, that was the final straw. That was the thing that pushed him over the edge. It just felt a little bit too convenient that something like this happened. I know we had to, you know, fulfill the prophecy from Day of the Dead and all this sort of stuff. We knew that he was going to betray them and this is part of that. But it just didn't feel like it was earned in this episode. Something that could have come up in the TV movies to come or anything like that, or the books or whatever the expansion was going to be. It just didn't feel right in this episode.
Yeah, it was very much an opportunistic moment for him, wasn't it? It was I can do this. And that's probably why he then said, no, I can't do that. You know, had he have been planning it for a few days and he had set something up, then that would have been more final. But yeah, this you do see the better side of him for going back and trying to make amends. But you know, he realizing that he made a mistake because it was just a one-off thing that happened right there. But yeah, too late. But then again, it gives him the storyline of him disappearing off at the end of the episode. Another one wandering the stars. John is willing to let what happened on the ship stay on the ship. They will put their best faces forward when they arrive at Minbar, which they do, as fireworks are set off as they perform a flypast. They arrive at the facility, which has a very large veranda, and Sheridan takes a moment to look across the landscape outside. Suddenly, there's a familiar voice.
Still walking around with your head in the clouds, eh, Sheridan?
Lando.
Emperor Molare, if you will, Mr. President. On a joyous day like this, how could I not be here?
Delenn asks
why his attitude towards them has improved. He says he was playing to the audience and needed to fire up his people. He says there are politics and friendship, and he wanted to come to congratulate them on their pregnancy. Londo wants to try some of that Earth whiskey, but Sheridan has not brought any with him, as the Minbari can't take it. Sheridan says he's surprised that Mallari didn't bring any drinks with him, but Londo says his associates won't allow him to drink it. As he takes a sip of his drink, Delenn gets a brief glimpse of his associate. But Londo has brought a gift for their child. It is a Centauri tradition to give a gift to the heir of the Centauri throne. And as he has no heir, he would like to give it to them instead. They should give it to the heir when they turn 16. Sheridan notices that the bottom of the urn is sealed, to which Londo says he believes that there is water sealed in the bottom of the urn from the river that flowed past the first palace 2,000 years ago. But his face says otherwise. Delenn must leave them as something's come up. She gets a message from Lanier. Delenn implores him to come back. He says he is so sorry for what happened. He never intended for it to happen. He says he will never forgive himself and once again apologizes before telling her that he will leave to seek redemption for what he has done before he comes back. As Londo is leaving, he says he wants Sheridan and Delenn to know that they are his friends, no matter what happens. And this day that he spent with them has meant more to him than they will ever know. Sheridan says he is always welcome on Minbar. When Londo gets back to his ship, he is congratulated on his work by his associate and is rewarded by having 1 hour free of them. Londo asks,
"Now what?"
"Now we await the passage of years."
"Years?"
"We are very patient."
As the ship enters the jump gate, the view changes back to the urn in Sheridan and Delenn's quarters, which contains a sleeping associate. Sheridan can't sleep, so gets up and records an entry into his journal.
"Today is my first night on Minbar. Our new home. Londo's visit got me thinking about the day my child comes of age. On Earth, that's 21.
He only has 19 years left of his life.
If Lorien's prediction holds, I only have 19 years left. I won't be there to see you come into your own, whoever you are, whoever you will be. Not that either of those things matter. Because sight unseen, I know that I will love you because you are my child.
21st birthday requires something more.
And the child of the woman that I love more than life itself. I will give you that love as best I can for as long as I'm here. But a day like this, your 21st birthday, requires something more. So, I give you what little wisdom I have.
From time to time, you will make mistakes.
Delenn is the greatest ally you will ever have. Her depths of courage and compassion are unmatched in my experience. Look to her for wisdom and fire in equal measure. And if you ever have any doubt, talk to her. She will never judge you. She will only love you. From time to time, you will make mistakes.
But home is always there.
They're inevitable. Sometimes those mistakes will be huge. What matters is that you learn from them. There's nothing wrong with falling down, as long as you end up just 2 inches taller when you pick yourself up off the floor. At times, you
may end up far away from home. You may not be sure of where you belong anymore. But home is always there. Because home is not a place.
People change because life changes.
It's wherever your passion takes you. As you continue on your path, you will lose some friends and gain new ones. The process is painful, but often necessary. They will change and you will change because life is change.
But Sheridan does believe that sooner or later, things do work out.
From time to time, they must find their own way. And that way may not be yours. Enjoy them for what they are. And remember them for what they were. There's not much left. Except, I believe, I really do believe that sooner or later, no matter what happens, things do work out.
At this point, Delenn interrupts and tells him he should get some sleep.
Which brings me to the first piece of advice my dad ever gave me, and now I'm giving it to you. Never
start a fight, but always finish it.
He says it's a good idea, and maybe he will have a lie-in tomorrow. Delenn says, that's a good idea.
You know what else is a good idea? Checking out this podcast that we're going to play a promo for right here on the ESO Network.
Attention, people of Earth! Looking for a way to kill half an hour every week?
Try the Flopcast! It's a silly podcast about cartoons, music, comics, movies, obscure pop culture from the 70s and 80s, and chickens.
Join us! Bring coffee!
We're on the ESO Network.
And we're at flopcast.net.
So I actually finished with He Will Have a Lie-In Tomorrow. And I thought, then I hand over to Sean, he does the promo. But how is he going to follow that? I know, Delenn says that's a good idea, because then he can say, you know what else is a good idea? And it worked.
Almost like we rehearsed it.
Yeah. It's only taken 117 episodes to actually understand how Sean gets his segments in.
Well, you got there in the end. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Okay, and the trivia. This was the final episode of Babylon 5, 1993, ever to be filmed. So there you go. So they filmed this. The last bit of this was the last one they did. So they already knew something, which we'll find out in a minute. Mm-hmm. When Sheridan and Delenn walked through the crowd before leaving the station, oh, bugger, I didn't look out for it. Actors Peter Jurassic and Jeffrey Wilhurth, Kosh, were amongst those watching them. So I need to go back and watch that because I read it and then thought, okay, and I totally forgot about it. This is Bill Mumy's final appearance on the series. Coincidentally, this episode aired on the same day, November the 18th, 1998, as his guest appearance as crewman Kellen in Deep Space Nine, The Siege of AR-558. Babylon 5 and Star Trek Deep Space Nine are considered rival series throughout their runs. Mm. There you go. Executive producer JMS has stated that although Lanier spends some years on the run after Objects at Rest, he is later killed in action during the Telepath War. Well, who knew that would happen?
Yeah.
Telepaths, maybe. In Day of the Dead, Mr. Morden, who is dead, visits Lanier and tells him that he will betray the Anlashok. In this episode, it is revealed that his betrayal comes from abandoning Sheridan to die rather than rescue him from the toxic fumes of the space that he is trapped in, believing that if Sheridan dies, he will have a chance to win Delenn's heart. He realizes his mistake, but it is too late since Sheridan escapes on his own and Lanier runs away, never to return. Zach tells Sheridan and Delenn that he will probably still be on Babylon 5 when they turn out the lights. This proved to be the case in the next episode,
the series finale, Sleeping in Light, which we will review in many weeks' time. The series finale had already been filmed when The Line was written.
Well, that's convenient.
Yes. And you know what else is convenient? Sean knows how many Star Trek connections there are.
He does, as a matter of fact. Nothing new, but we'll do a reminder here. We've got, of course, Marjorie Monaghan as number one, who was in that Beowulf episode of Voyager. We've got Simon Billig, who played Ranger in seven episodes of Star Trek Voyager as Hogan. And we've got Marshall Teague, who plays T'Lon. He was in Voyager's Distant Origin episode as Haluk, and in Deep Space Nine's Hippocratic Oath as Timo Zuma.
Well, there you go.
Nothing new, but some reminders.
Yes, absolutely. And ratings. We rate every episode out of 5. And IMDb rate out of 10. And they've given this a 7.9, which I thought was quite low for IMDb. Sean, what did you think, and what would you rate this as?
I don't know. It's a difficult one. For all the reasons we mentioned, it's good, but it's just okay. A lot happens, but nothing happens. You know, it's one of those up in the air ones. Is it supposed to be emotional? I don't know. I haven't been following the series, so it's hard to judge. But I was thinking 4.5. Because it's pretty decent. It's a fitting end to the series. It's no All Good Things like The Next Generation had, but it's good. It's fine. We get to see all the people. We get to say goodbye to everybody. No telepaths, of course, but that's okay. Yeah, I don't know. 4.5. What do you guys think?
Dan?
I really don't know. I am really struggling. I've seen other finales. I mean, in the trivia, it mentioned that DS9 is the rival show. When I think of a space station show, that finale, What We Leave Behind, is really good. You've got a bit of action, but you also have those drama beats. And then you have that pan back when Kira and Jake are just looking out on the wormhole. So you have that final character beat, whereas this episode doesn't have that. It just has more things happening in the universe. It just carries on. I know that this isn't the final episode, but it is the final Babylon 5 centric episode. There are other things that are going to happen as we go through with the TV movies. You know, it just doesn't feel like a finale, but it wants to be a finale. It's very confusing. And there's lots of things that were in this that could have been in last week or in the week before. So the characters had a bigger moment maybe, or a bigger time to themselves to really wrap up their story. It just, I don't know. There's nothing satisfying completely about this episode, but it is satisfying in the way that they tie up all of the different arcs. So it's really confusing. I started at 3.6. I actually started really low on this episode. As we've been talking, it's reminded me of things I liked. So I'm going to go up a little bit, but it still doesn't reach the 4. I'm going to go 3.8.
Wow. Okay. This is quite a spread. So yeah, I'm like with Sean on this. It's a perfectly good episode. It's a perfectly above average episode. It doesn't enter any top 10.
Mm. You know, no, it's not a top 10 episode for sure.
No, it's definitely not. And yet, is it even a top 20? I don't know. So I mean, I'm going to give this a 4. It sort of sits around there. It's got some. It's not bad by any means. There are no bits here where you go, "Ooh, that's a bad idea," or "That didn't quite work," or "You know, that's a horrible scene." "Ooh, you know, that doesn't make any sense." It all makes perfect sense. So it is a more than competent. The like, really emotional like part.
It's good, but it's not enough.
Yeah, yeah, and the ending is just bizarre. The last scene, it's just another day in the Sheridan and Delenn show. It's not even a, you know, there's no proper ending to it. You know, they didn't even bring Ivanova back to say,
madness.
You know, yeah.
That's what was missing this week. They should have had something.
She was really the heart of the show, wasn't she?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're right. Let's bring my thing down to a 4.25.
Ooh, yeah.
No.
with chiseling away.
Is that all Ivanova is worth? A 0.25. So yeah, so okay, so we will bring it down closer to it. Well, it's almost averaging as a 4, really, isn't it? Yeah, I think like I say, it's a good. It had that salute at the end been the final scene. That might have been really good way to end because it would have ended on such an emotional scene.
Mm.
But yeah, it just sort of fades out at the end, which is a bit unfortunate. But anyway, that's the way it is, I'm afraid.
What's next week?
Well, if you join us again next week, we will be discussing season 5 in our end of season review. So we will be discussing our favourite episodes, our least favourite episodes of season 5, what our thoughts were over the whole arc, and just general chit-chat, really.
Sounds good. So join us again through the jump gate for another exciting episode next week.
If you have any thoughts on this episode, why not send in some feedback to the epsilon3@gmail.com. That's 3 spelled T-H-R-E-E, not the number. Or you can find us on our Facebook page. Just search for the Epsilon 3.
Well, if you have any other problems, any other questions at all, just ask.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.